Our scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. We'll be reading from chapter 1 of Mark's Gospel, verses 9 through 15. It is found on page 867 of your pew Bibles. This time, let us listen to God's word for us. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This Sunday is the first Sunday in the season of Lent, and we are reminded that Lent begins in the wilderness. That's what the Gospel of Mark tells us in our reading this morning. Mark tells us that immediately after Jesus' baptism by John the Baptist, that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, drove Jesus out into the wilderness. And there out in the wilderness, Jesus was tempted for 40 days by the Satan. Mark's account of the temptation narrative is relatively sparse compared to his fellow writers, Matthew and Luke. Mark doesn't give us any of the lurid details as to how Jesus was tempted. We are just told that he was tempted 40 days in the wilderness while being accompanied by wild animals and angels. We are reminded of the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, where the Israelites, after being liberated from Egypt, have to sojourn through the wilderness for 40 years. It is a time of trial and testing before they are allowed to enter into the promised land. But now Jesus, the Son of God, it's Jesus who goes into the wilderness to be tempted by the Satan. Will he be thrown off course? Will he be diverted from the way of the cross that God has called him to? Or will he be able to withstand the temptation that he will meet in the wilderness? Of course, we know that Jesus overcomes Satan in this particular episode. We know that Jesus emerges from the wilderness proclaiming the kingdom of God. We also know that he emerges faithfully journeying towards his destination with the cross. We know that when Jesus is baptized, that his goal and objective is the cross. It is the way that God has called him. And yet he must spend time in the wilderness clarifying that way and being tempted to leave that way. And so Jesus goes to the wilderness and is tempted there. But of course, our story this morning is not just about Jesus, but our story this morning is also about us. It is about you. It's about me. It is about what happens after our own baptisms. After all, today, you and I are the body of Christ. You and I are the beloved sons and daughters of God. We are the ones today who are called to walk in the way that Jesus walked. And the question for us is, will we be thrown off course? Will we be diverted from the way of the cross that God has called us to? Or will we be able to withstand the temptation? Will we be able to withstand the devil? The devil, of course, represents those spiritual forces and powers that are opposed to the ways of God. There are all those forces and powers that seek to divert us away from the path that God has called us on, the path of self-giving love. And the question for us is, can we stay that course? Can we withstand the overtures of the Satan? Or will we be faithful, faithful in our way, in our path to self-giving love? Those of us who were here last Wednesday night, Ash Wednesday, had an ashen cross imposed upon our foreheads. We did that to remind ourselves that as the baptized community of God's people, that we are called to be a different kind of people. We are called to be a cross-shaped people. We are called to be a people marked with the emblem of God's self-giving love. That's what it means to walk in the way of the cross. It means to walk in the way of God's self-giving love. To be a cross-shaped people means that we have been crucified to the world, and that the world has been crucified to us. That's what the Apostle Paul says in the 6th chapter of the book of Galatians. We looked at a little bit of that in Sunday school this morning. But Paul says, I've been crucified to the world, and the world has been crucified to me. In Christ, we've all been crucified to the world. We've been crucified to the world's divisions, crucified to the world's hatreds, crucified to the world's fears, crucified to the world's selfishness, crucified to the world's ways of doing business. We, as the community of baptized people in Christ, have a new spirit operating within us. It's not like the spirits of the world, but we have a whole new spirit operating within us, a spirit of love, a spirit of joy, a spirit of peace, a spirit of patience and gentleness and goodness and faith. That's who we are. We are the people, the baptized community, who have been crucified to the world so that we may live and bear witness to what God has called us to be for the sake of the world. Of course, to say all this does not mean that as God's people that we do not experience temptation. It does not mean that we'll not have our wilderness experiences. Sooner or later, you can be sure that all of us will experience a wilderness moment. The wilderness is those sparse times, those chaotic times, those uncertain times in our lives when we are forced to come to grips with the true nature of things. It is a time when we are forced to come to grips with our total and absolute dependence upon God. We are reminded in the wilderness that there is no comfort there except the comfort of God. There is no sustenance there in the wilderness except the sustenance of God. There is no life in the wilderness except it come from God. In the wilderness, every pretense of self-sufficiency is shattered. That's what it means to be in the wilderness. That's what the Israelites in the book of Exodus found out when they were in the wilderness. They were in a place where they were totally dependent upon God. They needed God for food. They needed God for water. They needed God to guide them. They needed God, and they found out that they were totally dependent upon God. And that's how it is for us, too, in our wilderness moments. The wilderness may come to us as a period of unemployment. It may come to us as sickness or disease. It may come to us as a time of tragedy or crisis. But when it comes to us, it will test our faith. When it comes to us, we will hear the voices of fear and doubt and uncertainty speaking to us. They are the voices of the Satan himself, calling us, attempting to call us away from what God has called us to be, attempting to call us away from our trust in God, attempting to divert us from the way of God, from the way of life, the way of self-giving love. Let me say a few things about temptation this morning, because we, in the season of Lent, often hear a lot about what it means to be tempted. But temptation, first of all, is not simply for people who are weak. I often hear people say that only people who are weak are tempted. If you are really strong in your faith, you cannot be tempted. But the fact is that all of us are tempted, no matter how weak or how strong in the faith we might be. Jesus himself was tempted, as we read, and there was nothing weak about Jesus. All of the gospel narratives tell us that Jesus was tempted. He wasn't just playing like he was tempted. He wasn't just pretending to be tempted, but Jesus was tempted. Often, the stronger in faith that you are, the greater the temptation. Fred Craddock once noted that it is the more capable people and those who are great in their faith who face the greater temptation. So to be tempted has nothing to do with how strong we are or how weak we are. To be tempted means only that we must face our doubts and our uncertainties during those difficult moments when we find ourselves in the wilderness, and sooner or later, all of us will find ourselves in the wilderness. I was reading a meditation by a medieval monk named Francisco de Osuna, and he wrote that, "Remember, in abandoning the world and conquering vice, you give the devil more reason to be enraged, and he will feel particular hatred and rancor against you. If it seems he has retreated, beware, for he is busy rearming and mustering stronger forces. Because God does not allow the devil room for his attack against beginners, the demon's rat steals up a narrow path, but it rushes along a spacious road towards those who have conquered him at least once." Again, we are reminded that temptation has nothing to do with whether we are weak or whether we are strong in the faith. Whether we are mature or immature, we will all come to a period of testing, a period of trial when our faith is tested. Secondly, temptation is often deceptive. Temptation is not obvious, or often is not obvious. The devil rarely comes to us as the devil, but often temptation is presented to us by someone that we love, and someone who loves us, someone who cares for us. Sometimes temptation is presented to us by a family member or a friend or someone we respect. In the Gospels, temptation often comes to Jesus by one of his disciples, like Peter, when Jesus tells Peter what it means to be the Messiah, and Peter says, "Oh no," and Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Temptation never comes to us as temptation. The devil never comes to us as the devil. The devil never says, "Come, look at me. Do you want to be like me? Do you want to be like the devil?" In the Old Testament story of Genesis, The Satan never comes to Adam and Eve and say, look, I'm Satan, do you want to be like me? But instead he comes to Adam and Eve and says, do you want to be like God? I can open your eyes. I can make you like God. I can help you to be able to discern the difference between good and evil. And that's the way that temptation comes to all of us. Temptation is often something that we prize and value. It is often a way of promising us security and success. It's that temptation that causes us to divert our way from the cross, the way of self-giving love. We're often tempted. We can just have enough stuff. We can just have enough security. We can just be successful. That's what we tell ourselves. If we can just have these things, then we'll be all right. But when we try after those things, when we make those things the center of our lives, then we are tempted to leave the way that God has called us to pursue. In Matthew's gospel and in Luke's gospel, the Satan presents Jesus, tests Jesus by appealing to Jesus' sense of security and Jesus' sense of wanting to be somebody. If you're really the Son of God, if you're really loved by God, if you're really the Son of God, this is what you ought to do. If you're really the Son of God, you'll turn these stones into bread. If you're really the Son of God, then you will throw yourself off of the temple. If you're really the Son of God, then you want all these kingdoms of the world. If you're really the Son of God, this is what you'll do. If you just fall down and worship me. But we are reminded this morning that to be tempted and diverted from the way of the cross is to be tempted and diverted into the way that brings death. Only following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the way of self-giving love brings true life. None of the things of this world bring life. All of the money in the world does not bring life. All of the security of the world does not bring life. All of the success in the world does not bring life. You would think we would know that by now. We've watched celebrity after celebrity fall and end up in places that we wonder, how, if they've got all that money, how could they ever end up here? They've got all that money, how could they ever be addicted on drugs? They have all that money and all that fame, how could they ever end up here in this kind of situation? Yet we're reminded that none of those things bring life. What brings life is walking the path that God has called us to walk. And so the end result of us being tempted away from the cross, from us being knocked off track from the way that God has called us to walk, is that we as a people, as God's people, as a baptized community, find that we're no longer distinguishable from the world. We no longer are able to bear witness to the world. We're no longer are that light to the world because we've been thrown off track. We've allowed ourselves to leave the path that brings true life. And that's what I like about the season of Lent, because Lent is an opportunity for us to reorient ourselves. Lent is an opportunity for us to get ourselves back on track. Lent is an opportunity for us to begin to live as the people that God has called us to be. It's an opportunity for us to start loving the way that God called us to love, to start loving one another again. It's an opportunity for us to reach out to those around us again and to offer the hope that God has provided for us in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So how do we withstand the devil? How do we withstand temptation? How do we begin to live as the people that God has called us to be? How can we begin to do that during this season of Lent? Well, first of all, it means that we have to trust in God's word. We are called to trust in God's promises. We are called to trust that God is with us no matter what we might be experiencing. We're called to know that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing that can happen to us can separate us from the love of God. Unemployment can't do that. Sickness and disease can't do that. Family crisis cannot do that. Nothing that we have done can do that. Not even death itself can separate us from the love of God, we are reminded. But we have to believe that. And it's difficult for us to believe that sometimes, just like it was difficult for the Israelites in the wilderness to believe that God was with them. Even though they seen on Mount Sinai God's presence, even though they seen the fire and the smoke, even though God provided for them, even though God gave them water and food, even though God guided them by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day, they still had difficulty believing that God was with them. And we're all like that sometimes. We're all like that. Even though God continues to watch over us, even though God has brought us a mighty way, even though God's presence is with us, we have a short memory. We forget God's presence with us. And sometimes we're not quite sure that God is with us or that God is going to be with us. But we are called to trust in God. Trust in God. Put our faith in God. Know that God is with us. And one of the ways that we strengthen our trust in God is by returning to our spiritual disciplines. That is what this season of Lent invites us to do. Return to our spiritual disciplines like reading the Word. How can we be assured of the promises of God? How can we be grounded and have confidence in the promises of God if we don't read those promises? If we don't read the Bible, if we don't study the Bible, if we don't meditate the Word of God, how can we be confident that God is with us if we don't avail ourselves and ground ourselves in God's Word? So we are called to hear those promises. We are called to live into those promises as we study and meditate on God's Word, as we study and meditate what God has done in the past, what God will do in the future, and what God is doing in our lives now as we read ourselves into the story of God's people. So we are called to be grounded in God's Word, to read God's Word, to study God's Word. We're also called to pray. It's one of the ways that we withstand the devil. We are called to pray. The text doesn't tell us this, but I imagine that in that 40-day sojourn in the wilderness that Jesus was constantly praying. I bet Jesus was constantly praying and fasting, because that's one of the ways that we are allowed to have communication with God. And it's one of the ways that our vision, God's vision for our lives become clear, and God's will for our lives become clear. And so this season in Lent, I would invite all of you to be serious about your prayer life, to be serious about approaching God and praying to God. One of the things I like about us here at Olney Presbyterian Church is that we love to pray. We have a prayer chain, and we keep each other abreast on what's going on, and we love to pray. But I would encourage all of us to do more of that, to give ourselves over to God and find time regularly to pray to God. Find time in the mornings and find time in the evenings to pray to God. Jason announced earlier that one of the things that we have began to do on the last Friday of every month is to have a prayer time, to come together and to pray and to lift one another up, to lift up our church, to lift up this community, to lift up this world. And so I'd invite you to pray, because that's one of the spiritual disciplines that allow us to be able to withstand the temptations of the devil. And last but not least, I would invite you during this season of Lent to open yourselves up to each other and open yourselves up to those around you. Give yourself in a ministry of compassion. Remember that we are called to be a people to exist not for ourselves, but for the sake of the world. And so I'd ask you this season of Lent to find ways that you can give yourself, that you can give of yourself and serve others. Maybe it means visiting a family in this community or a family in this church that needs to be assured that they are loved and cared for. Or maybe it means spending time at a volunteering in a homeless shelter. Or maybe it means going to the hospital and visiting people in a hospital. All you have to do is walk in a hospital and you can see that there are people there who desperately need someone to come and just to be with them and let them know that they are loved and cared for. Or maybe it means going into the prisons and proclaiming the good news of God's love in the prisons. Or maybe it means doing work on behalf of the poor. Maybe it means sacrificing on behalf of those who are in desperate need of just the basic essentials. But give of yourself this Lent season. We're reminded that we are called as the baptized community to give of ourselves. We are the blessed community. We are the beloved sons and daughters of God. And that means that we have been blessed. And that means we are called to be broken. And that means we are called to be given away for the sake of the world. So during this season of Lent, let's get back to our spiritual disciplines. Let's stay grounded in the Word. Let's stay grounded in prayer. And let's remember that we are the people who are called, like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to give of ourselves for the sake of the world in acts of love and compassion. We are the baptized community. We are God's beloved people. We are God's beloved children. And that doesn't mean that we can do anything that we want to, or that God will stand by and allow us to do anything that we want to, but what that means is that we are called to follow the way of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the way of the cross. And so I'd ask you this morning to consider who you are, to remember who you are, to withstand those voices that try to tell you that you are something else, to withstand those voices that try to tell you that you belong to some other category, but to remember that you belong to God. And because you belong to God, you are called to walk in a particular way. You are called to walk in the way of self-giving love. Remember who you are. You are the beloved of God. Let that guide everything you do during this season of Lent, as we all strive to be the cross-shaped people that God has called all of us to be. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for your loving presence in our midst. We are truly blessed to have the opportunity to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, from our own baptisms through whatever wilderness you have called us to move through. We ask that you continue to help us to be that people that lovingly dies to ourself so that we might be able to live for Christ. Help us to make that journey. Help us to love one another. Help us to love the world as you have loved the world. Help us to be faithful in following the one who gave everything so that we might have life and have life in abundance. Let us remember during this season of Lent, this season of refreshment, where we are called to reorient our lives towards that which is really real and true and good. Help us to be able to do that, knowing that whenever we give of ourselves, we are following the one who has not only called us, but who has redeemed us, and whose identity we have assumed in our own hearts and minds. We are your beloved. Help us to live as the beloved community that you have called us to be. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.